This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. After the top of the hour news, we're here with the second hour of the KE Report. We're defining this hour just temporarily here until we become a standalone show. Again, I hate to keep repeating myself, but that'll be happening within about 2 weeks. KER Politics. I have a gentleman with us right now who is absolutely perfect to talk about this from an economic standpoint right now, politics from an economic standpoint. His name is Jesse Felder. Jesse is a real veteran of the industry. He's doing what all smart veterans do, and that is he's living in a town called Bend, Oregon. And I have to tell you, Bend is the Garden of Eden, in my opinion, aside from Semiahmoo. I really like Semiahmoo. Mr. Felder put out a missive recently dealing with the possibilities that could occur now that the Trump administration is pretty much guaranteed being in power in 2017. Jesse, from a fundamental standpoint, what I find interesting right now is a couple of days ago, consumer confidence numbers came out, and they had shot up. That shows that the nation is really behind the idea of a change. How do you think that President-elect Donald Trump can implement that change?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I think obviously that's why he got elected, is people want something different in Washington. I think his drain the swamp message really resonated with a big segment of the population. How can he come through on that message? Some of the economic changes that he's talked about, infrastructure spending could boost the economy, which is, you know, today the Atlanta Fed just reduced their estimate for fourth quarter GDPs, and we're just kind of have basically a stagnant economy for a long period of time. This recovery over the past 7 years or so has been one of the weakest recoveries, post-recession periods we've seen. So trying to fix that, obviously he's talked about infrastructure spending. Deregulation, you know, is another big area, probably even bigger than infrastructure spending that he's talked about that makes people really hopeful. And so those are two that I just off the top of my head that I think he'll need to do in order to meet those expectations that are obviously rising now, as consumer confidence shows.
Jesse, one thing that I've found so interesting is now with Trump heading into office, we're hearing a lot more about inflation, or even as you termed it, Trumpflation, with his different policies and what he might bring into the system. And we've seen the markets price in some of this Trumpflation, but where do you stand on what policies he might enact, and if we actually might see some inflation in the U.S., considering it seems like central banks around the world have been chasing inflation for years and haven't been able to find it?
I ask myself, what is the biggest force of disinflation that we've seen over the past 25, 35 years? And that's globalization. Right, we send jobs overseas and all these things, and lower the cost of production, and you know that's been a massive disinflationary force for a long period of time. We've seen a deglobalization, if you will, over the past year or couple of years, where you know manufacturing is starting to come back to the United States, and if you just Google the term reshoring, you know, look at Google Trends, reshoring is starting to pick up steam. There's just not that big arbitrage trade out there anymore where it's that much less costly to do business overseas. And this is something that Trump has really talked about, is I don't want to say anti-globalization, but you know, he's against sending jobs overseas and all these things. So I personally think that's probably the biggest inflation risk that we face is the reversal of this massive disinflationary force that we've seen over the past 30 years. So if we go towards more policies of encouraging businesses to create more jobs here, that's an inflationary force. And so I don't even think that's something that people are really talking about. Yes, we're talking about if we do lower taxes and do some type of infrastructure spending, you know, raise deficits, that's potentially inflationary. But I think a bigger factor is probably this potential for deglobalization, which is not just a Trump thing. This is something that is happening all over the world, this kind of as part of these more populist policies and populist candidates around the world getting more traction.
I see the trend going the other way from what I think may very well happen in Italy and certainly what may happen in France in terms of the leaders that may very well get elected here in the near future. But let's get back, if you don't mind, let's get back to the inflation number again. How out of hand do you think it could get? I mean, I remember back in 1975 when Kathy and I bought our first home. Mortgage rate are 77 or thereabouts. Our mortgage rate was 14.1. That was pretty serious.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What do you see happening possibly today?
Gosh, you know, it's so hard to gauge. I mean, I would defer to somebody who's much smarter than I am. A guy like Jeff Gundlach has said, you know, the 10-year Treasury yield could be 6% within the next several years. Supposedly, Stan Druckenmiller said something like that along those lines this week as well. Both those guys are two guys I highly respect. But there's a great paper that I tweeted. This was actually a speech from William White, who's one of the few economists that I care to read. And he discussed some of these inflationary issues. He was accepting the Adam Smith, you know, award. And so this was his speech a couple of months ago. He referred to an old Fed paper from 1981, which talked about where inflation comes from. And when fiscal spending is reined in by the amount of demand for treasuries, then the Fed does have the power to control inflation. But when fiscal spending is not reined in and the Fed is forced to manage, the Fed is essentially reined in by the demand for treasuries, then that's when inflation, you know, the Fed loses its power to control inflation. So it's really who is in charge of the money supply and treasury growth and in that respect. And it's always a balance between the Federal Reserve and the fiscal side of things. And so the fiscal side has been reined in for a long period of time. So the Fed has been able to keep inflation in check. But if the fiscal side starts ramping up and not really paying attention to rising interest rates, that's when inflation could really, really get out of hand. And so I think that's one of the things that the bond market is looking at right now, that if fiscal side starts, you know, lowering taxes and spending without regard to what's going on in the bond market, that's going to put the Fed in a bind. And so that's one of the interesting dynamics to watch, I think, over the next couple of years.
Well, and what a change that would be, because it seems like the markets and even, well, major investors have been watching the Fed so closely and trying to get some guidance from the Fed. But now with Trump in office and some of the comments Trump has made about Janet Yellen and her associates at the Fed, we could see a bit of a shift away from that dependence on central bank policies and maybe the markets getting back to controlling their own destiny, which I don't know whether that would be good or bad, but it would be a change. And change is what people voted for when they brought Trump into power. So maybe an interesting dynamic that we can talk about next segment with you, Jesse, and that is if Trump is going to take some of the power away from the Fed and other central banks around the world, because it seems like people are slowly starting to lose faith in what central banks have been able to do and what they have been doing, because all of their policies have not trickled down to the average citizen. They've only further helped out big banks and big organizations. So, Jesse, we're asking you to stick around one more segment.
Just want to add one thing before we take this break, and that is consumer confidence has literally skyrocketed. We talked about that a little bit at the onset of this interview. When I say literally skyrocketed, I mean it's up now to over 107, just slightly over 107. That's a very, very major change from where it was just in the very distant past. Also, look at the markets. The country is ready for change. There's no question about that. They're calling it the Trump rally. I'm calling it the sensible rally. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The EPA says the air in our homes is up to 5 times more contaminated than outside air. The solution is not just to filter your air, but detox it. UVforLife.com now offers a doctor-recommended UVforLife.com sterilization unit to kill over 99% of viruses, bacteria, molds, and dangerous chemicals. Go to UVforLife.com. Add promo code GCN at checkout to save $100. That's UV, the number 4, life.com. UVforLife.com. Don't just filter your air, detox it.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset Jeans, here to wish you all a Merry Christmas. For over 20 years, we have built a loyal customer base with 100% American-made jeans featuring enhanced fit, comfort, durability, and style. Today, all of our inventory is discounted by 20%, so don't delay. Enjoy a wonderful shopping experience at Gusset.com. Thanks for keeping our American dream alive, the original Diamond Gusset Jean.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Jesse Felter, money manager, economic expert, and publisher of the Felter Report. Jesse, I got a question for you, and that is, Corey made a point towards the end of the last segment where he was saying that is it possible at this point in time for perhaps market forces to begin to become more important today, a more important input today than they have been? Because the forces up until just very recently have been not necessarily market-driven, I would say, but, I mean, one could argue that they've been market-driven, but they've really been dictated by the Fed governors, for lack of better terms. I don't see that continuing in the Trump administration, do you?
No, I agree with you. I think what we're seeing with the Trump election is a force arising anti-elitist sentiment, and it's around the world. And part of that is anti-elitism is directed right at the central banks because of the growing evidence that, you know, these heroic and experimental policies are not working at all in the ways that they'd hoped. So, you know, we're seeing it in the elections with Trump being elected, but we're also seeing it in market action. And we're seeing it in LIBOR rising for months and months, well ahead of the Fed. Now, this is the market saying, we're going to tighten financial conditions with or without you. So I think we're seeing it in terms of sentiment, people saying, you know, we're kind of fed up with these people who are running not just the central bank, but they're running the financial markets. And we're tired of these people printing trillions of dollars to no avail. So I think we're seeing it in sentiment. We're seeing it in the markets now as well.
I think we're also seeing it in what's happening with yields on the 10-year as well. They are pricing in not just one Fed rate hike, but more than one. And maybe the markets are trying to take more charge. But where do you think that, whose shoulders does that lie on there, Jesse, to take some of this power away from the central banks? Because, quite frankly, they still do have the ability to enact some pretty intense monetary policies that will impact what people do with their money.
They do. I mean, one thing that I have been saying for quite some time, it's really easy to be critical of the Fed. I really think that the biggest mistake that was made was actually Congress giving the Fed the dual mandate. You know, Congress doesn't have, the Fed doesn't have any ability to affect employment, right? They do have an ability at times to rein in inflation. But really, the Fed was created to promote financial stability. In the event of a bank run, you know, they can be the lender of last resort. And financial stability should be their primary, if not their only, mandate. And when we gave them the dual mandate of, you know, keeping inflation, you know, in check and trying to maximize employment, that those two things go against that original mandate of financial stability. All we've seen them do in trying to promote full employment is undermine financial stability. So I think, you know, my greatest hope from a Trump administration, because he's been critical of Yellen for, you know, creating a financial bubble, what I've actually called the everything bubble, because we've seen a bubble, you know, bubble valuations in all kinds of financial assets. But my greatest hope for a Trump administration is that we find a way to, you know, undo the dual mandate and just say, look, all you guys need to worry about is financial stability. In the event of a crisis, a bank run, whatever, you know, you can be the lender of last resort. But other than that, you know, let the business cycle and the credit cycle work on its own.
You know, I got to tell you one thing from personal experience. I was on the board of directors for 22 years of a publicly traded bank in Oregon, interestingly enough, and we fell under the auspices of the Fed. And I have to tell you, the Fed did a great job basically helping us and helping other banks, obviously. That really is the true Fed mandate, not to run the economy, not to be, for lack of better terms, steering the economy in general. And I think what we might see in Donald Trump is the fact that very possibly it'll go back to that particular mandate. If it does, we're going to be in good shape. It's going to be a little bit tough at first, but if it does go back to that, we're going to be in great shape, because in terms of enforcing regulations, in terms of looking out for things like banks that are truly insolvent but are hiding it in their financial statements or what have you, you know, forcing things like mark-to-market to actually occur, if we go back to that, our economy is going to be much, much better than the way it's being run right now, don't you think?
Absolutely right. I mean, when you take the price of money to zero, you create all kinds of problems in the economy and in the financial markets, and problems that we don't even know the negative, you know, repercussions of 7 years of 0% interest rate policy, which you know, I think we'll find out over the next few years. But without, you know, a reasonable cost of capital, you know, all kinds of problems occur. And so, you know, and we've seen that through all, you know, through the last several, you know, massive boom bust cycles in our financial markets over the past, you know, two decades. So, yeah, I think going back to, you know, a natural rate of interest and cost of capital could only be a healthy thing for the markets and the economy.
Jesse, how much pain do you think the markets and the economy, even down to the individual, would go through to get back to more of a natural interest rate and economy?
Well, you know, the simplest thing that I look at, well, I could go through different asset classes individually. I think the stock market is at least as expensive as it's ever been in its history. Obviously, some measures show that 1929 and 2000 were more expensive than we are today, but, you know, only for a very small period of time. So the stock market, the risk reward in the stock market is skewed very negatively. The bond market, the same. I mean, you're getting paid 2.3% to tie your money up for 10 years. You know, with inflation, you know, that could run, you know, 3, 4, 5%. You know, that's how you get to 6% bond yields over the next few years. And if bond yields go from 2.3 to 6% over the next few years, that's going to be a very painful experience. But the simplest thing that I look at is when you look at the ratio of real assets to financial assets. Financial assets have never been more expensive relative to real assets in history. So, you know, that tells me that probably over the next 10 years, it's going to be a great opportunity to own real assets, and financial assets are going to do relatively poorly to real assets.
When you're talking about real assets, and you're basically talking about things like precious metals, to an extent you're talking about things like real estate, am I correct in that, making that assumption?
Absolutely right. And you know, and then so when you dig into that, you know, yeah, we're talking about precious metals, commodities, real estate. And then I look at, okay, then we have the real assets that are affected by interest rates, you know, like real estate, you know. So things like, you know, residential real estate and commercial real estate that have been capitalized, you know, based on unrealistically low interest rates, those are probably not going to do as well as other real assets that haven't been. You know, so I lean towards commodities and most especially precious metals over the next period
of time.
Well,
we happen to agree about 100%. Jesse, we've got to run, for lack of better terms. Hate to say, we want to get you back on the show. Folks, if you want to find out more about Jesse Felder, let us know. We'll make sure you get complimentary copies of his Felder Report. Jesse, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Harold, this one is just for you. We're chatting with Chris Temple right now about the situation in Europe, particularly in this case France and Italy. It would appear to be that after the Brexit, it would appear to be that that is a trend that will very possibly continue. Chris, let's talk about why you feel that way. I feel that way, and I'm happy to opine on that. We had an interesting situation in France vis-a-vis the front runner in the election, his opinions about the EU, his opinions about Russia, etc., etc. And now we have the situation that is going to be voted on Sunday in Italy. How do you think all of this is going to turn out? Because politically, I think we're seeing a major shift in the world, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is a broad-based rebellion against plutocrats and oligarchs in high places who are out for nobody's benefit but their own. And we're seeing it in different ways. We saw it with the election of Donald Trump in this country. We saw it with the Brexit vote. Both of those things, of course, were ones which the establishment media told you couldn't possibly happen. Just the last weekend in France, we saw another guy get elected who couldn't possibly get elected, François Fillon, who is likely now going to be the next French president. He is, as I said on social media the other day, kind of a Pat Buchanan light. When you look at his physicians. And for those who wanted a really aggressive repudiation of the EU and the waves of immigrants that have invaded Europe and all the rest of that in the form of Marine Le Pen, you're not going to get it now because France has got what they want in Fillon. And so when you have the second round of French elections next year, probably won't be close. He will be the next president. So that's pretty much already happened. He has been overt, as has Italian Prime Minister Renzi, as has Mr. Orban in Hungary and others, that the European nations have been led astray foreign policy-wise and being in enmity with Russia. They have all been very vocal in that that's a bad thing for Europe to do. So that is a good development that I see. But immediately, Al, as you pointed out, one of them, this Sunday we have a referendum in Italy, which is being billed as constitutional reforms that Matteo Renzi would like to have done. The vote is likely to go no against him, which may or may not be the end of his stint in office. That remains to be seen. He has backed off recently his promise to resign if he lost this vote, but you know that's a little bit wishy-washy right now. And also Sunday we have a kind of a replay of Austria's election, where Norbert Hofer, who is the head of the Freedom Party, could be elected president. So everywhere you look, there is a repudiation of this, and you know the odd one out who wants to run for office again next year is Angela Merkel in Germany, who has increasingly been looked at as the main muscle for the EU to force all of these immigrants, all of this austerity and everything else down everyone's throat. And they want to throw her out with all of this, too. This is just as much going to be a repudiation of her if Hofer wins in Austria or if this referendum goes down in Italy.
Chris, it's been very interesting seeing the political moves around the world, especially in Europe and in the U.S., and it does seem like we are having a trend of people voting against the, let's call them the establishment or against the status quo. But the fact of the matter is, even though we've had the Brexit vote, Britain has not moved ahead with actually exiting the EU, and that could all start to happen next year. And Trump, we don't have him in office yet, and some of the moves he's been making for his cabinet have actually been kind of contradictory to some of the policies that he's been running. But overall, do you think this is good, this is healthy, that people are standing up and saying that they want change, whether this change does happen with these new leaders or not? You must think this is a good thing.
I do, Corey. One of the interesting paradoxes of all of this, however, is that if you were to see all of these different various moves politically really succeed, it may not in the grand scheme of thing be good, as some people will perceive it, for markets. And the reason is that the current banking edifice in the world, all of the layers upon layers upon layers of financial alchemy, valuations of many asset classes and so forth, has come courtesy of this top-down world that we have, where profits matter more than people. And as we see different nations go back to a place where they want people to matter more than profits, that isn't always going to be good necessarily for markets. And that is what the powers that be continue to beat everybody over the head with. Oh, you don't want a referendum because it'll upset markets. You don't want to regain your self-determination because the markets will crash or banks will be insolvent or whatever. Well, who created that damn mess in the first place?
You know,
it's like
Jack
Nicholson said when he was a Joker in Batman, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. And so we're going to see, number one, the will of the people assert itself ever more. But it's going to be increasingly important to see just how much the Donald Trumps and the Fillons and the Renzis, or whoever might replace him, Geert Wilders, who is having a political comeback of sorts and is in being talked seriously as the next prime minister of the Netherlands. All of these politicians are going to be under enormous pressure from the establishment that they poked their finger in the eye of, financial, media, political, all of them. And every time they sneeze wrong, you're going to see the media bombard these populist candidates which we told you you shouldn't have elected this guy. Look at what the trade numbers were last month. He's starting a trade war, or profits are going to drop, or banks are going to be in trouble if you people let this guy try and regain some political self-determination for you. This is a big war. And yes, Trump's election was a victory and a battle in that war. But the bigger war still goes on. And frankly, the opposite team, all of the oligarchs in the world, still have the upper hand more in more areas than not of this war. So this is just getting started.
You know, the interesting thing, in my opinion, is just, you know, how far is this thing going to go? Read an interesting article this morning, and this is kind of generically on the subject, so don't think that I'm just going off on a tangent. You know, Bernie Sanders was in Seattle yesterday, and he's saying we're not going to give up. You got to keep on fighting. Well, maybe Sanders has got a point, because Sanders is very, very different from, I would have to say, Mrs. Clinton, his opponent in the last primary, but I would have to say I think we are seeing changes in the world right now that make me very, very happy. They make me happy primarily because of what our guest in segments 5 and 6 had to say. What's going on is a step, in my opinion, is taking a bit of power away from the central banks, number one. Number two, allowing the invisible hand of Adam Smith to get back into the markets as it should. I view this as being a very good thing. It certainly is happening in the United States with the election of Trump. Don't you agree, Chris?
Well, I do. I'm probably not quite the fan of Adam Smith that you are, because to me that's a more humanistic form of capitalism. And capitalism I always distinguish, since I learned better, from free enterprise. Not to mention, since you brought up Bernie Sanders, I mean, this guy would be the George Washington of our age if he understood and articulated social credit. Because the reason for my comment earlier in this segment, guys, is because when you have this populist revolt against a global system that is anchored in fractional reserve banking and that money power, and you don't attack that power head on, you are going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why people like Bill Gross have said Donald Trump will be a one-term president. He's going to try and do all of this stuff. He's going to fail. And the epitaph will be that populism and everything revolted, and Trump was just a blowhard, egotistical businessman that should never have been elected. That's the danger.
Yeah, that is a danger, but I have to tell you, I don't think that's going to happen. We're seeing trends in this country that are just too strong. We're seeing trends in the world that are just too strong also. Chris, great to have you involved in the KER politics. I'm having a lot of fun with this. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with former Congressman Brian Baird.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Hey, welcome back. We are here to wrap up KER Politics. We're also wrapping up the weekend show. Hope you folks are enjoying it. We have a new guest with us right now, a gentleman who's going to be joining us on, I would say, kind of a regular basis. His name is Brian Baird, former congressman from Washington State, an old friend. I have known Brian since probably 1995, when, interestingly enough, I went back with the family to Washington, D.C. to visit with Ron Paul, and guess who I visited the next day in his office? Our local congressman, Brian Baird. I've got a lot of time for Brian because I think he was in the game for all of the right reasons. We're going to be using Brian, for lack of better terms, as the other side of the coin. I'm going to call it common sense in politics, because let me tell you, this gentleman has nothing but common sense, has absolutely no axe to grind, very, very, I would have to say, not middle of the road, certainly, but a very objective individual when it comes to talking about issues. Brian, do me a favor, if you would, since this is the first time we've talked to you in a while, please give us a little bit of background on yourself and your background and your beliefs.
Sure, Al. Thanks. First of all, thanks for your program. I enjoy it very much, and I'm really honored to be with you. And, you know, I was privileged to serve 12 years in the U.S. House. I represented the great 3rd Congressional District, which is all of Southwest Washington. And what I love most about it is it's a real diverse and swing district in the sense that you've got timber communities and fishing communities and manufacturing and farms and agriculture and also suburbs. And at that time, the state, the seat of our state government. So a real diverse swing district, and that I think is something that helps keep people sort of centered and honest in what they do, because otherwise you're going to probably lose your seat, which you probably should if you get out of touch. But I was initially trained as a clinical neuropsychologist. So what that means is I worked with people who had brain injuries, severe strokes or car accidents or sadly sometimes gunshot wounds, and had a doctorate in that and worked in clinical settings of all sorts, really. Grew up in a small rural community, and I'm now privileged to live in Edmonds, Washington with my wife, who does health economics, and two wonderful twin boys who are 11 years old.
Twin boys, something else we have in common. My daughter, Sarah, just gave birth to twin boys.
Oh, Walter, congratulations.
Walter and Bruce, boy, is she busy. Anyway, having said that, we are living in a country right now that, in my opinion, is divided more so than it's been since probably the 60s, the early 60s, when the Vietnam crisis hit. And I think you and I both probably felt the same way about that particular environment. But we're in a crisis today where I see more animosity on both on the part of both parties than I have ever seen in my life. How in God's name can this country accomplish anything with that type of animosity between the two sides?
Well, it's a real question, and I think one of the things, one of the sad paradoxes about it is, if you look at the electoral outcome, on the one hand, Mr. Trump appears to have gotten the majority of the electoral votes, but Secretary Clinton got the majority of the popular vote. And so one rational response to that would be for people to say, hey, look, the country's actually kind of divided here. Neither side has a clear-cut mandate. Instead of one side or the other claiming that they speak for the whole country, we ought to acknowledge that a fair number of the people on both sides are different than one another, and we ought to try to find, is there a common ground rather than just one side deserves absolute power? You know, one of the benefits of representing a swing district is you really quickly say, look, my job is to represent all the people in this district. It doesn't mean I'll agree with everyone, but I want to at least listen to and respect everyone and see if we can't say it. Even on some of the most emotional issues of all, can we not find areas where we agree and work on those first and maybe set some of the disagreements a little bit aside for the greater good?
Brian, I could not agree with you more that we need a little bit more, I guess I could say, getting along between the many different parties or the two different parties, and people maybe running more along the lines of let's start to solve some problems rather than complain about everything that's going on. What do you think are some of the most important issues that the government could be facing that they actually do stand a chance of coming to some sort of an agreement?
Well, that's a really interesting question. There are huge issues today, really existential issues, meaning that impinge upon the future survival of the planet and the country, and yet whether people can actually come together is another matter. I think we've got to get our hands around the deficit and the debt because, we're passing now a $20 trillion debt onto our kids and grandkids, and I don't know how they're going to pay for that. I personally, I chaired the science committee. I'm a scientist by training. I've spent a lot of time studying it and traveling. I think climate change is very real. I think you don't have to have divisiveness about the problem. And I think there are common ground we could find on solutions. A good friend of mine is Bob Inglis, a Republican conservative from South Carolina, who believes in a conservative approach to solving problems, but he also finds the evidence of climate change compelling and has a wonderful way as a conservative to try to deal with that. So there are ways we could do it. The question is, will this House and Senate and the President be willing to do it? And I'm concerned that they may not.
You know, an interesting question that for you as a PhD psychologist is, you know, there is a phenomenon in human nature. It's called out of sight, out of mind. And what that oftentimes refers to is when you have a situation that isn't just staring you right in the face, like an oncoming car, for example, ready to run you over, you have a tendency to put it in the back of your mind and you don't even consider it as a reality. My personal opinion is that that's what's going on with this deficit situation right now. I mean, you know, here's a guy, Al Cornell, with a degree in economics from the University of Washington. Having said that, I know what debt is all about. I know what debt can do to an entity, whether it's a country, whether it's a family, whether it's an individual. And I'm going to tell you, something has to be done about this debt. And every one of the parties, going back as long as I can remember, have basically skirted this issue.
Yep. You know, it's because it's easier, because if you listen to the campaign promises, it's always easier to promise to spend more money on the things people want, lower taxes, and that math just hasn't been proven to work out. I mean, it's, you know, you teach a kid in basic math, you don't even have to have a degree in economics, Al. You tell a kid if you increase the value on one side and you lower the value on the other side, that equation sign in the middle is not going to work. Mm-hmm. And both parties are guilty. I mean, you know, some years ago, when I was still running for office, I told an editorial panel, we have to, one hand, address the growth of entitlement spending. That's Medicare and Social Security, because they can't continue to grow at current rates. And on the other, if we really want to reduce the deficit, we're going to have to increase revenue as we grow the economy. And the idea that you would actually do what's mathematically necessary, i.e. lower spending on entitlements and get more money from revenue, sounded like political suicide. I just think it's honest. And if we really care about the future and our kids, we've got to do that. The rhetoric I'm hearing right now is lower taxes, increase spending on military and on entitlements, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty skeptical about whether that's going to help us get to a balanced budget.
One last question. We've got about a minute and a half left here, almost not quite a minute and a half. But Walter Jones, who is a friend of yours, I know you guys think kindly of each other. Yeah, he basically has said one of the main problems right now with politics in Washington is gridlock, he said. And I blame Congress, both sides of the aisle. How about yourself?
Well, I've actually believed we need to have an independent Speaker of the House who doesn't try to put politics first, but puts fair process first, where we actually have real debates about real issues with people having time to read legislation. You know, when I was in office, I championed the radical idea that you should have a minimum of 72 hours to actually read a bill before you were asked to vote on it.
Pretty
it's
radical.
Common sense. Yeah, but we couldn't get it done. People, they didn't want us to know the legislation on both sides, frankly. And so we can get past it. There are other reforms we ought to do. I think we ought to switch, for example, to a biannual appropriation process for about half the appropriations bill, so you have more time to actually look at what you're doing instead of jamming these massive 1,000-page bills with all sorts of goodies packed in them. There are things we can do to improve the process. There are things individual members can do to improve civility, and the parties themselves can do. And the American people really want it.
Of course they do.
Part of what divides people is the anger over the dysfunction. But if we would actually function, I think some of that anger would subside.
Absolutely no question. That's what we're going to accomplish on this show. With your help, Brian, we're going to get some of the anger, rancor out of the system. Brian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Al.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.